Everything the border.
Lou and Matt
on the Borders 105.7 Triple M.
Well, we had quite the variety of things on the show this morning, Matt. It was huge. Starting off with some very good sense from local law professor Dr. Bede Harris talking about abolishing the states.
Yeah, get rid of them. It'll never happen, though, will it, Lou? But bloody hell, it'd
be great. I don't know. Do you reckon? Never say never.
Well, how would it all? Because they wouldn't want to let go, would they? You can imagine Daniel Andrews just handing in the keys. There you go, ScoMo. Yeah.
Can you just see him walking out of his office with his box and his pot plant?
Yeah.
Not likely.
But it's definitely worth pondering. And he's got a new book out and everything, and goes through it with us. And it was very interesting. You were a bit devastated, though, weren't you? Up at the Hilltop Country Estate, you'll hear a fun story about Lou and cows.
My bloody cows. They're the bane of my existence at the moment.
Swatter took us through the footy, Lou, and geez, he was multitasking today, wasn't he?
He really was, huffing and puffing. He was doing his indoor bike training because he's a legendary bike rider. I'm going to say legendary
because
he's on the Packer Up bike ride and everything.
No,
he's done lots of really long distance bike rides. So the man is as fit as a trout.
He is.
And he was literally doing 18 Ks on his bicycle while he was talking to us.
About footy,
unbelievable. It was incredible.
And Aunt Shelley Craft, we caught up with the delightful Shelley Craft, who you call, what do you call her?
The mum of the block. She really is the mum of the block. She's been with the block since the get-go, and it's just... It's always a pleasure to talk to Shelley. She has a really interesting perspective on the block characters.
Yep.
But look, let's kick off with what I like to call another useless bloody study. It's about seagulls. Have a listen.
Now, another example of people with far too much time on their hands. I still actually can't quite believe this. This was an actual study conducted by scientists. What they did, Lou, is they wanted to test... make sure that seagulls don't eat your food, see? So an initial study conducted by scientists, they put a bag of chips on the ground as bait and tested how long it took gulls to approach. Now, what they learned from this exhaustive research that people were paid for is if you stare at the gull, they're less likely to come over and steal your food. It took scientists... to do a study to find out that staring at a seagull makes it less likely to steal your food.
What's the conclusion? Seagulls have got a conscience?
With a human...
They feel intimidated?
Yeah, they just feel intimidated. With a human watching, there was an average 21 seconds more than when you looked away. Now, what you can test by this, Lou...
Sure.
...is forget that stupid study that's a waste of time. What you can test is just how formidable you look as a person, because if the average is 21 seconds it takes, if you're staring at them longer for them to get the courage, if you're staring at them and they come over within 5 seconds, you know you're not much of an intimidating person.
Ask my kids. I reckon I'd get a good 40 seconds out of a gull easy.
You would?
Oh,
so you're intimidating.
Ask my kids how intimidating I am when I do... the look, as they call it.
Yeah, at the gulls.
Mum, why are you giving me the look? And I think the gulls would feel the same way.
Meanwhile, all my food's being stolen. It's learned that. It's Triple M. From a time when we could travel freely and take that last plane out of Sydney, it's Lou and Matt. It's the Borders 105.7 Triple M, different world now, of course. It's 7:08, and this pandemic has exposed the state system's flaws. Should we get rid of them, those annoying arbitrary lines on the map that are causing so many issues for so many people? Senior law lecturer Dr. Bede Harris from CSU certainly thinks so, and he joins us. Morning, Beads.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
I guess the first thing we need to ask is why do you think that the states should go?
Well, there are a number of reasons. First of all, they cause enormous expense to the economy, both in terms of the cost of running state governments and the cost and inconvenience to business and individuals. The best current estimate is $58 billion a year, which is a huge amount of money. And then, as you said in your introduction, their existence is completely artificial. The only reason we have states is because the colonial governments had to be satisfied, as it were, and their positions preserved when negotiations for the Federation were being undertaken. We could quite easily have had a single Australian nation without states. So it was really for political reasons that the old colonial boundaries were preserved, but there's no practical reason why we couldn't have a single national parliament.
Yes, and Dr. Harris, what would that Australia look like? How would it work in general terms without states?
Okay, well, I've in this book that's being launched today that I've written, launched by John Hewson, I've argued that I've put a draft constitution in the back of the book, and my vision is that there'd be a single national parliament with the ability to legislate on all matters. There'd be a single legal system. So if you're a business person operating across three states, you wouldn't have to comply with three OH&S rules, three employment codes, three environmental codes. There'd just be one national law.
Yep.
But that the national parliament would delegate power to local governments and perhaps to regional governments to deal with matters like, you know, refuse collection and water and things like that. But there'd still be one single legal system and one set of laws.
Yep.
I can just see businesses rejoicing if something like that happened, because, you know, it's a scenario that we might not often think of, that so many businesses operate across different states and have to comply. And just the cost involved with the compliance for those things is extraordinary.
Yes, it's really substantial. And, you know, no one has produced a convincing argument in favour of federation. It doesn't confer any benefit in exchange for all this expense.
Yep. Now, we're almost out of time, but what are the chances that something so radical would ever happen?
Well, I think it really rests on popular agitation. I think unfortunately the COVID epidemic has given impetus to that, and I'd urge people to press for constitutional change, and perhaps it's something that the Australian Law Reform Commission could put on its agenda, because it's a very important issue and we found just how inconvenient it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the book, Constitutional Reform as a Remedy for Political Disenchantment in Australia, The Discussion We Need. Where can people find the book, Ben?
They can find it by going onto the website of the publisher, which is Springer.
Okay, thank you so much for your time.
Get rid of them. Get rid of them.
Absolutely, get rid of them. Dr. Bede Harris, thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you.
I want to call Daniel Andrews Bede and tell him personally. He's out of a job. Thank you so much. It's Lou and Matt. It's Triple M. I mean, you look a little troubled.
Yes, well, something happened at home yesterday, something sad and tragic.
Oh, look out. We're going up to the Hilltop Country Estate.
Yeah, we have to.
What's happened up there, Lou?
So, I'll just set the scene for you. Yesterday afternoon, I was just sitting in the lounge room doing a little bit of research for the School of Rock, actually, because it's drummers and I'm into it.
Yeah, our quiz, that's coming up.
Yeah, that's coming up, exactly. And I was just doing a bit of research and I thought, oh, I wouldn't want a coffee. So, I walked up to the kitchen.
Yeah.
And as I looked up and out the window, it was just a massacre. Do you remember when my vegetable garden was massacred by the cows?
The cow that you ended up putting down.
Yeah, well, I didn't put him down. He went to another home, Matt. Jack Black. Yeah.
He ate all your juicy vegetables that you'd grown to perfection.
Yeah, well, this is as bad as that.
What happened?
So I've been getting the garden together over the winter, right? And one of the things that I'm doing is adding some more beautiful native plants to the garden.
Sounds magnificent.
But it just so happens that cows love taste of native plants, right?
Not again.
So I hadn't planted these plants in the garden yet, because when I plant them, I have to put barriers around them. But I thought they're still in pots. Beautiful. They were flowering. They were looking amazing. Six pots there, just looking awesome. And I had put chicken wire around them. So I'd corralled the pots.
Well, that sounds fine.
Put the chicken wire, closed the top so they couldn't stick their boof heads in there and eat them.
Yeah, well, that's
put rocks around the bottom so that they wouldn't get in there. Oh, no. They had just muscled in. They'd obviously seen it and gone, geez, that looks pretty bloody tasty in there. Knocked it flying, and there were pots akimbo. They were everywhere. And look, a couple of, I think I salvaged two of the plants. The rest of them had been chewed down to a stump. Those damn cows. They're ruining my life.
But you didn't say the word damn, did you, at the time?
I said the F word. I was so angry. I can't even tell you how angry I was. Now I've put a barrier back around what's left, the aftermath, and I've tent-pegged it in so they can't even knock it over.
Did you take a picture of the crime scene?
No.
Damn. I would have loved to have seen it. I
was so angry.
It's dire straits. It's Lou and Matt. It's Triple M. Jeez, I love your Hilltop Country Estate stories. It's Triple M. And already, there's been two family tragedies. COVID is right around the corner that shuts production down. And the other night, contestants were pondering a phallic-shaped kitchen bench. What is happening on the block? We need to talk to Shelley Craft. Shelley, good morning.
The world has gone crazy.
Well, is this the craziest block production that you've been a part of?
Without a doubt. In my 13 series, we have never experienced anything like this, obviously. We were coming into this series, which we started filming back in February, of what had been a horror summer for Australia.
Yeah.
We knew that by the time we went to air that we wanted to bring a little bit of light and fun back to telly and hopefully, you know, have a bit of fun along the way and win some money for our contestants along the way. And then we get this global pandemic thrown into the mix. So it really has rocked everybody's boat. And of course, we see that all play out in the next coming weeks on the block as we go into shutdown like the rest of the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I guess one of the things that shocked the contestants when they got there was the houses having different eras and then them being, instructed to kind of stay true to the era of their house, because a lot of them, I'm guessing all of them, would have come in with ideas about how they were going to do their rooms and how they were going to decorate. It's all about flexibility, no doubt. Jimmy and Tam seem to be the most flexible at the moment, but who do you reckon might be a bit of a dark horse, Shelley?
Oh, I reckon they're all starting to really find their stride, which is a shame because it's all about to get turned upside down.
Yep.
But I call it block fit. You know, you come in and you've got no idea what's going on. It takes you a couple of weeks to get into the swing of things. We saw a few tears in that first week with people just completely overwhelmed.
Yep.
And now I feel like they're really starting to, you know, hit their straps and they know what their house is and they've worked out what the difference between a square cornice and a floral, you know, ceiling rows, and all those things are starting to fall into place for them. So I think by the end of this, you're going to see five magnificent homes, which are all staying quite true to their period. And I think for people, particularly in New South Wales and Victoria, you know, they love their period homes and they love to embrace those features. And I think it's a great thing, you know, if you are thinking of doing any reno around the place, just by changing, you know, the shape of your doorknob or your cornices can really restore a home back to its former glory. So we get a little bit of reno mixed in with all the drama.
Shelley, don't mention the word knob after what happened on Wednesday with the phallic-shaped kitchen bench. It's out of bounds, I'm afraid. One thing, just finally, we've run out of time, unfortunately, but I feel a little let down because I was watching the promo and it was Scotty Cam dressed in all the different outfits from the different decades.
Eras,
and I was hoping that we'd see more of that. But, every night he'd come out in a different outfit. So I'm slightly disappointed in Scotty Cam this season, Shelley. Uh-huh.
You weren't the only one, Matt. I think there was a lot of us hoping that he would do fancy dress every single night.
Yes.
But no, wasn't to be.
No, never mind. Look, it's always a ton of fun. And as you said, you learn a little bit, you laugh, you cry. It's got everything. The block and 7 o'clock Sunday night. Absolutely fantastic.
Block it in.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Shelley Craft.
Pleasure, guys. See you soon. Bye.
Talking footy with Swatter.
Don't tell me! Nobody tell me! I don't believe it!
And we catch him doing one of his favourite things, riding your bike, Swatter, but inside the house.
Inside the house, Lou. We're living someone else's dreams at the moment. Daniel Andrews. We've got to stay within 5 k's of where we live. I'm doing that because I'm not moving. I'm on the stationary trainer and doing something that your colleague, your co-host, should probably think about doing a little bit more frequently, Lou.
Bit of cardio.
I ride my electric
you
bike.
You ride
every
an
day.
Electric bike, that's, Matthew.
Every day.
Actually, that's not true. The electric bike could not cope with the excess weight, and it's currently getting repaired.
It does get repaired a lot.
Yeah, it does.
All right, now here's a team that might need a bit of a rejig and a repair, Swatter. St Kilda are in a perilous position after last night's defeat.
Yep. Well, I'm going to quote one of my great mates that we spoke about briefly the other day, the great Spud Frawley. God bless him. He used to say to me frequently when we were calling footy together, he goes, Swatter, bad kicking is bad footy.
Mm-hmm.
The team that kicks the most goals will win. That's what the West Coast Eagles did. Unfortunately, 6-14 cost the Saints. Big loss. Great win for West Coast.
All right, now tonight is a massive game, Lou. It's Geelong and the Tigers. Yes. This is legit a huge game. So who do you like, Swatter?
Can't go past the Cats. And wouldn't it be nice, Matt, wouldn't it be nice for one more time in your lifetime before we say our goodbyes, and I hope that's not soon, that you get to say, wouldn't it be a massive game with the Adelaide Crows playing?
It will one day.
Tonight's one of them. I'm thinking Geelong with Tommy Hawkins on fire. They'll beat the Tigers.
What about North Melbourne and Fremantle tomorrow?
We'll take a pass. We're rebuilding. Following Adelaide's 25-year rebuild plan at the Kangaroos, Freo will win.
Maybe North need to get on the win trainer like you, Swatter.
Maybe North need to call a couple of old stars to play.
Oh, yes.
35 touches, I reckon, off halfback I'd get.
Mickey Martin, get him back.
I said players that could get a kick.
He's always ready for you, thrust and parry, Matt.
Is Port Adelaide and Essendon, who the Adelaide Crows have won more games at the start of September than Essendon has in their last 16 combined Septembers. So what do you like?
I knew you were going to go with that because you sent me that photo yesterday. That's all you've got to hang on to. I tell you what's going to happen. The Pride of South Australia will win and win comfortably. I think Port Adelaide may make the grand final against the mighty Brisbane Lions.
Oh, God.
I think you might be right. GWS and Melbourne is the other game.
Toss of a coin. Giants disappointing. Stephen Cornelio dropped as a captain. Wow, I haven't heard that for a long time, but he's out. Melbourne with no faith. I really don't know which way to go. I'm going to say draw.
Yeah, and Simon Goodwin's position has to be pretty perilous at the moment, Swatter, unfortunately.
Well, you'd think he'd be coming under pressure, but the problem that clubs have, Matt, is they lose $3 million out of the salary cap.
So yes.
They can't afford to sack the coach and pay them out.
Yeah, and so he's got 3 years left, Swatter.
I think the timing of this will work in Simon Goodwin's favour, but he better turn things around quickly.
All right, we better whiz through these last few. So Carlton and, I have to say it, Swatter, the Crows.
Blues in a thumping. Absolutely. Crows.
That's
it'll put
Queensland.
It back into reality.
Yeah.
Someone can go away and stop texting me.
We love Queensland. Hawks and Bulldogs.
Bulldogs. Too good. Hawthorn.
Here we go, Lou. This will test his...
Game of the round, this one, Swatter. It might be hard for you. No, it won't be. Sydney Swans and the Brisbane Lions. I know where your allegiance lies.
You beautiful woman. This is what respect and trust is built on, the foundations of a great relationship. The Brisbane Lions will mould the Sydney Swans.
They will.
That's okay.
Yeah,
we're
right.
On our way to the grand final.
That's Sydney, his old team.
Shut up.
Doesn't matter. The Lions will be licking their lips, no doubt about
it. They will be. This is going to be a full body audit. It'll be a replication. And the best thing about Sydney losing, it won't matter because old pasty boy in the studio there won't finish with his Adelaide Crows above Sydney, which means it's tattoo time.
All right, now we'll leave it. We'll leave it there, Swatter. I'm loading up for Monday. We'll talk about the Collingwood and
how many Ks have you done now, Swatter?
I've done 18 kilometres in 30 minutes.
Wow!
Average of 35 kilometres an hour.
And, I go faster than that.
He's been going 35 k's an hour and talking to us on the radio. That's pretty good going. Wayne Schwoss, you're a legend. We'll talk to you next week.
I am a legend, don't forget
He's probably not even riding, Lou.
He's riding. What else would he be doing?
It's Lou and Brad. I don't know. God forbid. Don't even think about it. Yes, and it is a nice day on the border today. It's Lou and Matt on Triple M. It's 20 to 9. But there's one thing that's a little bit notable at the moment, Lou, and that is that the mighty Murray River is unbelievably low. And we talked to a bloke called James a little bit earlier on. He's going fishing, isn't he, this weekend?
At Mungab, he said.
Yeah, loves it out there. And I was just saying to him just how low the river was. He said this.
Oh, I'm with you, Matt. I don't understand either.
Nah, I mean, I've never seen it as low as down at Noriel. It is so low, I've never seen it that low before. So
you could just about walk across.
You could just about walk across, Luke. That's what it feels like. It's probably slightly too deep for that. But still, it is unusually low. Now, I've checked the Hume Dam, and we're at 64%. We know that we've had quite a bit of rain around. It hasn't been an unusually dry winter.
No, it's been a wet winter.
That's right. So why is it so low? Now, more than happy to call an expert next week to find out, maybe from New South Wales Water or something like that. But I'm just wondering if you know off the top of your head, on 13:27:10, to save me the effort, Lou, of trying to call an expert, do you know why the river is so ridiculously low at the moment? Especially around, to be honest, I've only seen it around the Noriel area, so yes. I haven't been anywhere else, but I presume it's low everywhere.
Well, you would think, because it's all connected.
So. You would.
13:27:10, if you do know, we'd love to know.
Yeah, really would. Here's In Excess. It's Lou and Matt. It's Triple M. So I've asked the question, 13:27:10. Ben from Albury has given us a call. Ben, why is the Murray so low at the moment? What is going on, mate?
Oh, look, it's basically on its way back up. Yeah, it should be up a bit tonight.
Now, do you think it's that they just didn't release enough from the dam?
No, they haven't needed to release from the dam because there's been enough inflow from the Ovens River and the Kiwa River.
Ah, gotcha. All right, so it is slowly going to increase up now, you reckon?
Yeah, so it's up to about 8,000 megalitres a day today, and it's being kept low, obviously, because water's needed.
Yeah, okay.
Right, gotcha.
Fair enough.
All right, thanks, mate. Appreciate it.
No worries.
See ya.
Oh, Ben sounds like a potomologist, Lou, no question about
it. Ben did sound like he knows what he's talking about.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And for the other people who called too that we couldn't get to, thank you for that. We've got the great resource available to us, Lou.
It's done. The water's coming up, so you can happily go for a wander along.
Yeah, because it looks
walk around Noriel.
It doesn't look nice as much as any. And they've cut down heaps of trees. We're going to have to find out what's going on with that.
Have they?
Yes.
Where? At Noriel?
Yes, Lou. They've just cut down heaps of
trees.
They'll
be replacing them.
Well, I hope. We'll talk to Kevin Mack. That'll be fun. It's Lou. It always is, Lou. It's Lou and Matt. It's Triple M.